Next is a live broadcast of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church worship service with Pastors Poppy and Mirandi.
So much more than a day, it's an entire season. And so here we are, right smack dab in the middle of Easter season, still rejoicing in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. The name, the Latin name for our service today and our Sunday in the church here is Jubilate. You don't have to be a Latin scholar to hear the word jubilation, joy. Today, as we heard in the prelude, today is a day of joy. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead for you, for forgiveness, for life and salvation. Even though we live in a world that is full of suffering and pain and sorrow and sin, Christ is risen from the dead for you. His promises are real and they will never end. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear that good news for us today and always. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. The outline for our 10:30 service begins on page 6 in our bulletin. Page 6 in our bulletin. As we heard in our prelude, the joyful music, we'll sing that hymn to begin our service. Hymn 803, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of Matins. That's on page 219 and following. We have a special worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll make sure that we get to the right page at the right time. A couple of options in this service, and we'll make sure that we're there together. We are excited for the school kids to be singing today as well. Our school year is winding down, and we pray that the students would finish strong and look forward to a joyful, joyful summer break. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of each new day. We thank you for the gifts that you give us in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus. He is indeed risen from the dead for us. Our sins are forgiven, our names written in the book of life. And yet, Lord, oftentimes in this world, there is pain and suffering and sorrow and bitterness and discord and fighting, and the list goes on and on and on. Heavenly Father, we know that our sins are forgiven. We know that Christ is risen from the dead for us. But we cry out, how long? How long, O Lord, will we suffer? Teach us today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to hear your gospel-filled answer, a little while, a little while. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. We sing our hymn 803.
Thank you. Matins, page 219. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As our psalm for the day, we sing the intro for the day as you find it on the front of your bulletin insert.
Thank you.
then we sing our office hymn 483, "With High Delight Let Us Unite." Testament reading for this fourth Sunday of Easter is from Isaiah chapter 40. "To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? Who brings out their hosts by numbers, calling them all by name? By the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, no one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God'? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God."
Find me the Lord.
The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love their brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading is from St. John chapter 16. Jesus said, "A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I'm going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
We sing the Easter responses as you find them on page 222. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day.
Give the Lord all the glory and praise.
Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 16th chapter of the gospel according to St. John, dear friends in Christ. We don't know what Jesus is talking about. We don't get it. We cannot comprehend his words. They fill us with confusion. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." It's not that the words themselves are hard to understand. It's not that we need to consult a dictionary or a thesaurus, if anyone owns one of those anymore. It's not as if Jesus is here speaking in some sort of obscure code. Yes, he's being a little mysterious, but anyone who has been with Jesus throughout his ministry, or has even read the Gospels, who has heard the three passion predictions of our Lord, cannot fail to see what he is saying here. In a little while, he goes to die. They will see him no longer, for he will dwell in the belly of the grave. But that is not the end of the story. For in just a little while, they will see him again. He will rise victorious from the grave, and no one will take your joy from you. So it is not the words that cause us the trouble. It is the consequences of these words. It is living through these words. We do not know what Jesus is talking about because we have to live through the little while. For the disciples, "a little while and you will not see me" meant that very shortly, literally just a little while, a night of horrors would begin. They would see their Lord, their Master, their friend, the one they depended upon, betrayed by one of their own, condemned to death by a midnight kangaroo court, and then hung upon the cross. To the disciples, "a little while and you will see me" meant hours of waiting with Jesus' cold, dead body lying in the grave. A day of darkness, so excruciating that many of them lost their faith and nearly their minds. Jesus, "a little while," was overwhelming, crushing. It seemed to never end. And they couldn't understand why. We do not know what he is talking about. You and I understand their confusion. We too live in Jesus's "a little while," living in the valley of the shadow of death without seeing our Lord. We dwell in a holy Saturday that never seems to end, waiting and searching for Jesus to rescue us from our misery, and not understanding why this little while is taking so long. We do not see Jesus. He has departed again, ascended to the right hand of the very throne of God. But what we do see is what distresses us. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament," Jesus says. "You will be sorrowful," he emphasizes. And he never spoke truer words. As a pastor, one of the questions that I hear most often, in one way or another, is, "Why am I suffering?" Perhaps we started out patient, but as time goes on and those sufferings keep piling up and get higher and higher, there's an added urgency to our cries. As the disciples languished in sorrow on Holy Saturday, so we languish in sorrow all the time. We feel like Jesus has abandoned us, that he has left us to languish in our sin and in the midst of a sinful world. To all appearances, our Easter celebration hasn't changed anything. To all appearances, our baptism was simply a waste of time. Jesus doesn't seem to love us or care what we suffer. Job argued over and over again that the wicked often prosper while the righteous suffer, and Jesus here guarantees it. You will be sorrowful. And we don't understand why. We do not know what he is talking about. We don't understand what's going on. We don't know what Jesus is talking about. A little while seems interminable. We cannot see Jesus. We can only see our sufferings. And we are bearing the brunt of his words. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. That is what it looks like in the midst of a little while. The church at large and Christians as individuals, sorrowing and suffering, wondering just how long this little while will last, not seeing Jesus, only their sufferings. And all around the church, the world rejoices. The world that hates Jesus and his followers, celebrating victory after victory. Satan enjoying the torture of God's saints. The world doesn't see Jesus, and it is glad, because to all appearances, its ancient, its greatest enemy has been defeated. The foe was triumphant when on Calvary, the Lord of creation was nailed to the tree. In Satan's domain did the host shout and jeer, for Jesus was slain, whom the evil ones fear. You see them gloat, mocking Christ and his church, and nothing happens to them. And the frustration of Christians only increases the fun. Nothing happens as they deride your Lord and run down his saints. Instead, they sit in smug victory, rejoicing with every suffering Christian. But short is their triumph. Only a little while. The world killed the Lord of glory, their foe and their bitter enemy, but in a little while, their victory turned to defeat. Their rejoicing into mourning. The tomb was robbed, the grave left empty. Their enemy, who they had left behind them dead and defeated in the tomb, rose to put an end to their victory party. Jesus rose to turn this world upside down, to give mourning in the place of rejoicing, and rejoicing in the place of mourning. The world didn't see Jesus for a little while, and they thought that victory had been won, but now they do see him again, a terror to his foes. John cries out in the first chapter of Revelation, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him." In a little while, the world will see Jesus again, coming with the clouds of heaven, and he whom they mocked and killed, the head of his body, the church which they persecuted and harassed these many centuries, that same Jesus will return as the judge of the living and the dead. In just a little while, the world's smirk will be wiped off its face. In just a little while, the world's joy will be turned into sorrow. In just a little while, the sorrow of Christ's suffering people will be turned into joy. You have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. The same vision that gives the world terror, that melts Christ's foes, will give you joy. Satan oppressed you. Sin overwhelmed you. Death threatened you and finally will take you. But their rejoicing, their victory, will be turned into sorrow. Their joy will instead belong to you. On Easter morning, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb filled with sorrow. I think that's what we have here on our bulletin for today. The weeping that had continued probably ever since her Lord was arrested was continuing that early morning, that first Easter morning. But as she wept, the promise of Jesus in our text for today was fulfilled. And her sorrow was immediately turned into joy. And she is a picture of you and I on that day, that final day, when we will see Jesus face to face, when our sorrow will be turned forever to joy. A little while and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. No one understood these words when Jesus first spoke them. But when Jesus looked Mary in the eye, risen and glorified, she finally understood. We do not understand why we must suffer so. We do not understand a little while. But like Mary, we will. When we see our Lord face to face on that day of days, then we will know that we have only been waiting a little while. Jesus' promise is a little while. He guarantees that your sufferings have an end, a termination. That this world never has the victory, but is foolishly rejoicing in defeat. That is the promise of the cross and the empty tomb. Satan has been dealt with, sin defeated, death robbed. This world has no victory over you, but has already been triumphed over. Your sorrows will terminate. Joy will last forever. Jesus led the way, winning joy, eternal joy, through his sorrow and his sufferings. He too walked through the valley of the shadow of death to the joys of eternity. For dear friends, it is only through the sorrow of Jesus that the joys of eternity come. Without the sorrow of the cross, no joy is possible. Without the death of Jesus, sorrow doesn't last a little while, it lasts forever. But because Jesus has passed this way before us and in our place, we know that all the sufferings of this world will end. They will only last a little while. And a day is coming when they will be remembered no more. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. This joy drives away all sorrow, because this joy lasts forever. In this world, you will have sorrow. You will have tribulation. But take heart. Christ has overcome the world. Your sufferings have an end in perfect glory. St. Paul captures it beautifully. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now, saying a little while doesn't remove the hurt. Saying a little while doesn't eliminate the pain. Saying a little while will not immediately bring back your lost parent, spouse, or child. It will not restore your marriage. Saying a little while doesn't remove all the questions. We do not know what he is talking about. As a pastor, when people ask, why am I suffering? I desperately want to do something like the apostles of old, to take away their suffering immediately, some sign, some wonder. There are times that I wish I was a faith healer and could simply say, be healed! And their sufferings would be gone. But I'm not an apostle, and neither are they. All those faith healers have to offer you is a false theology and empty promises. What I have to give you this day, what all faithful preachers have to give you throughout the centuries, is a word from Christ himself, a word that has been entrusted to us to preach, brought into the hospital bed and the living room of those entrusted to our care. We have not been given to fix suffering. We have been given to say, a little while. For a little while means that suffering has an end. A little while means that relief is coming. A little while means that the cancer, the heart disease, the family conflict, the addiction, your sinful desires, even death itself, does not have the victory. But their days are numbered. And in the new heavens and the new earth, they will not even be remembered. The cross and the empty tomb guarantee it. As Jesus was raised, so you too will be raised. And you will see him face to face in an eternity that will be characterized by joy. Sorrow has a termination, an expiration date. Joy will last forever. So you also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand, we sing the Te Deum, found on page 223.
welcome. Welcome in the name of our suffering servant, Jesus, who is with us through our suffering today and always. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a servant who not only knows our suffering, but is with us each and every step of the way, would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and our offerings. Continues and concludes with the prayers of the church. We begin with the Kyrie, middle of page 227. Please stand as you're able. God, you show those in error the light of your truth so that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant faithfulness to all who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's church, that they may avoid whatever is contrary to their confession and follow all such things as are pleasing to you, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for Good Shepherd member Doretta Kleinkoff, who is currently hospitalized. We pray for the family of Alana Sanderson, friend of Angie Poppy, who died in a tragic accident this past week. We pray for Marjorie Legband, the sister-in-law of Willis, who has recently been put in hospice care. And we pray for the people of Venezuela. We pray for safety with the rioting and unrest there. And especially we pray for the safety of Good Shepherd members Ramon's family. We pray. Merciful Father, as we make our pilgrim way through this life and world, protect and preserve us from the passions of the flesh, which wage war upon our souls. Turn our hearts daily in repentance and humility, and assure us of your gracious absolution in Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, preserve your church in this little while, as we await our Lord's return and glory. Bless all pastors and missionaries. Bless them and comfort them in their labors, reminding them of the joy set before them and strengthening them in their service. Be with Dr. Allman in Germany. Be with Pastor Preuss in the Dominican Republic. Be with all of the seminary students as they anxiously await their first call into the parish or their vicarage assignment. Preserve them, bless them, and most importantly, keep them faithful to your word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful and unchanging Father, protect and preserve our nation and all those who lead us. Guide them in the legislation, execution, and judging of just laws in accord with your will and commandments, that your people may live in peace, that the weakest and most vulnerable among us, the elderly, the widowed, the orphaned, the poor, and the unborn, might be valued, honored, protected, and prosper. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless the nations of this earth with good leaders, peace, and prosperity. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with the good people in Venezuela. Protect them during the unrest and the rioting there. And we ask for a special measure of your protection and guidance by your holy angels for Ramon's family. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, we are your children now, but what we will be has not yet appeared. Bless, keep, protect, and preserve all children as they grow in faith, in the knowledge of you and your commandments, and in the fruitfulness to the glory of your name. Provide, inspire, and equip all parents and guardians of your children to faithfully train them up in your word and in your commandments. Guide all educators within your church, her schools, and in all places where your children learn. Heavenly Father, we ask for a special measure of your blessing upon Good Shepherd Lutheran School and Preschool, especially as we continue forward in the call process. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Ever-present Father, we would lose hope and perish if it were not for your steadfast, merciful, and gracious presence and gifts in word and sacrament. Provide through your pastors and fellow Christian believers visitation, the comfort of your word and gifts, and supplications for those who are shut in, unable to attend the divine service regularly, and those who are lonely, that they may be absolved of their sins, comforted with the gospel, fed, nourished, and strengthened by your gifts, and so persevere in faith and shine with your light. Grant perseverance, faith, strength, and healing in accordance with your good and gracious will to those who are sick, hospitalized, preparing to undergo or recuperating from surgery, and those who are in need. Especially this day we lay before you Doretta, Marjorie, Jerry, Celeste, Emily, Ed, Marianne, Vivian, Ruth, Carol, Sharon, Lyle, Al, Janet, Cindy, Sonia, Diane, Bonnie, Ted, Anna, Larry, Warren, Ken, Brian, Bridget and Sophie, Beth, Ralph, Shelley, Betty, Kristen, Desi, Raleigh, Dell, Cassie, Joyce, Charlotte, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Everlasting God, we give you thanks and praise for your faithfulness and promises fulfilled in the lives and deaths of those saints who have gone before us and are with you in paradise. Be with all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, especially the family of Alana Sanderson, the family of Alice Krause, the family of Sam Malone, the family of Dwayne Kratky, and all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. Keep us, we pray, in your gracious protection and care, and preserve us in this little while, until we, with all the saints, see you face to face in the very mansions of heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated. We live in the little while, and knowing that Christ is with us and what awaits us at the end, we are filled with joy. Hymn 482, this joyful Eastertide.
Thank you.
him. Christ is risen.